There's a few of y'all that have thrown a hand grenade. A couple of you have. You pull that pin, you let the spoon fly, you get 3 seconds. You count real fast. 1, 2, 3. Throw that thing. There's an urgency to get it away from you. I pray I can light a stick of dynamite and throw it tonight. What if the Lord sent an angel tonight? If you think I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. I want to speak to each one of you individually. What if the Lord sent an angel here tonight and he said, in this room with just a handful of folks, there's a devil among you. Would we ignore it? Pay one lick of attention. Well, we start looking around. You know what? I bet it's so-and-so. Or not because we're told to, because we earnestly mean, would we say, Lord, is it I? Here in Matthew 26, our text is going to be verses 17 through 25. Matthew 26, but in the beginning of this chapter, they plotted these chief priests. That's who plotted against Christ. Kill him. Scribes, that's who plotted to kill our Lord. Elders. Well, that's not drunkard, drug pushers, and harlots, is it? Just as many times before they plotted, but this was the determinate time. This was the appointed time by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God playing out. This was it. This was that appointed time. This is the time that these wicked men will be permitted to act on their natures. Lord's permissive will let them take and apprehend our Lord. There in verse 7, Mary comes and she anoints our Lord for his burial with an alabaster box. Oh, how worldly, how precious that is. People get, just tied up arguing over if that's a year, year and a half salary. I don't know, it's precious. It's a whole bunch. It's worth a whole bunch. She put it on him and the disciples, plural, all of them, they saw this happen and they murmured, oh, she's wasting that. She could sell that and give it to the poor. Our Lord said, don't you trouble this woman. She's wrought a good work. You've got the poor always with you. But you don't always have Christ with you. He's sitting in front of you right there in that house. Whosoever this gospel is preached to in the whole world, this story is going to be told. What Mary had done. Now, we don't speak of this story of Mary every service that we have, do we? But we do speak of the honor Christ deserves. We speak of giving your whole self to Him. Trusting Him to provide for you. Of caring for heavenly things, not earthly things. Of coming to His feet. Coming to Him. One-on-one. Coming to Him. Now, verse 14, here's where the bargain of Judas Iscariot takes place. Matthew 26, 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and he said unto them, what will ye give me? What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Verse 17. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go unto the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. God sent them to one of his own. I had a couple paragraphs about this, who this man isn't. But one who carried the pitcher of living water in his chest. And that servant, whosoever they may be, it ain't named, ain't mentioned, ain't remembered, whosoever they may be, they will obey the Lord. They will. They will follow the Lord. They will serve the Lord and his people. It'll happen. Verse 19. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. And they made ready the Passover in his house. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." What did he say there? One of you. Not someone. Someone's going to betray me. One of you. Not one of the followers of Christ and those multitudes. One of you. Not one of the 70 sent out to preach, was it? One of you. One of you 12. One of you, this inner circle. There's a tare in the wheat field. Does that make you look to see who it is, or does that make you ask a different question? Look what the apostles asked here in verse 22. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" Was that anger? Think about that. Are they mad? Who is it? Which one do we need to kick out? Were they jolly? Who is it? Is it I? There was sorrow. Genuine, heartfelt sorrow over what? These men were sinners and they knew it. They knew it. Not just the outward sin that they did. They didn't know the extent of that either. They didn't know the complete extent of the sin that they were truly inwardly either. And ain't you thankful to the Lord He doesn't show us what we truly are? It was just give us eyes to see truly what sin we are. We'd just explode, wouldn't we? We could not bear that. But they were convicted of sin. They believed God and they believed His Word. They were convicted. They were sin. The noun. What we are, not what we do. What we are. What we are is the source of it. What we do is the product of it. We'll touch on that more towards the end. But in true sorrow. Some say this group was just close-knit. And they were. For 3.5 years they walked with our Lord, serving Him. They labored together. They ate together. They worshiped together. They sat next to one another while God Almighty taught them. How He spoke to them. They shared a room together at night. They slept on a hillside underneath a tent at night. They were close. They were closer than blood relatives, I promise you. Though that's true, they were close. Not one of them earnestly, with sorrow, cried, "Is it my brother?" Did they? His sorrow was not an outward show. It wasn't pretend, and it wasn't vanity. This was true sorrow, a true conviction of sin in I. One person, one letter, I. I pray for my children. If it's His will, that Christ will be revealed in them. I pray for loved ones that I love dearly. Christ will be pleased to reveal Himself to them. I pray for some of my brothers and sisters that I've spent a lot of nights like this. I served in other countries with them and walked a whole bunch with them. Ate a whole bunch with them. And we should. We should. We should pray for one another. Pray for those we love. But this is one-on-one. God Almighty in human flesh is speaking to them. In person. There's a one-way conversation between the Holy God and their hearts. There could have been 1,012 of them, or 12 of them. It didn't matter. This was personal. They ignore it. They have something else better to do. They pay attention. We are saved by a person, and it's personally. There's not a group effort. There's not a panel discussion that facilitates this. Mommy and Daddy ain't involved. Christ speaks to the heart of His child, to His people. There in verse 22, it says, "And they were exceedingly sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I?" If one of them is going to fall, it's going to be me. Is it I? What was Paul's progression in the knowledge of his sin his sinful heart. He started out saying, I'm the least of the apostles, didn't he? And then he said, I'm the least of all saints. And before the Lord took him out of this earth, he said, I'm the chief of sinners. I wish someone here would not be sorrowful. I pray I would be sorrowful tonight. Pray I'd see that I'm sin and I'm totally and fully unable to do anything. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Because Christ came to save sinners. Surely these wise men, these apostles, they knew that they were the Lord. Yes, they did. They did, but they also had a war going on inside of them. An old man and a new man raging in battle. And they had some idea of what that old man was capable of. That doesn't happen to everybody. You hear me? That doesn't happen to everybody. Turn over to Psalm 73. Not everyone's truly convicted of sin. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. I waver, I falter, I stumble. And they seem so firm and strong, don't they? They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride encompasseth them then about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. You're a good person. You don't deserve that. You have rights. They speak loftily. That's a proud and a wicked tongue. That's what that is. He goes on saying, my heart's just in so much pain over these things until, verse 17, Psalm 73:17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. Surely thou didst set them on a slippery places and cast them down into destruction. Where did the Lord set your feet? He set your feet in slippery places, or did He set you on Christ, the solid rock? If we're set on Him, we cannot be moved. He set me there, and He holds me there. Verse 22, so foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before Thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with Thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. What a comfort to somebody that's suffering. Somebody that's sorrows. If you're just happy-go-lucky all the time, life's just roses and peaches and ice cream. I ain't got enough for you. The Lord's Word penetrates your heart, makes you sorrow, makes you suffer. What peace it is to one that's weary. Moses said, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. That salvation, it's not an experience. That salvation's not a place. I put an article in a bulletin today. It was like 3 pages long and I whittled it down. I hope you can read that. 4 walls and a ceiling don't mean security. I sit underneath the sound of the gospel. You sit underneath Christ. That's a good place. That's where you're going to hear Him. Salvation's not an experience. It's not in a place. It's not in a thing. Well, I don't take that thing or I do take that thing. It's in a person. Look at verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? Whom? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. Who is this whom? Who is this person of our salvation? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a Lord. Back in our text from Matthew 26. This is who they petitioned to. Their Lord. It says in verse 20, Matthew 26, 20. Now when the evening was come, He sat down with the 12, And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" Christ asked those Pharisees a few pages over. He said, "David said, 'The Lord said to my Lord.'" And he said, You agree Christ, one that's to come, is going to be of the house of David, right?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." And they said, "If David called him Lord, how is he his son?" We're not old fashioned anymore. We don't have respect for our elders. At this time, they did. That was an absurdity. That couldn't happen. My grandchild, I wouldn't honor them. They honor me. That's how that works. How could David call him Lord? Because he was David's Lord. How did these 11 call Christ Lord? How did David call him Lord? If you call him Lord, how do you and I call him Lord? How do we? Paul told us, "No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." Truly say it. Many will say in that day, "Lord, Lord." But to say that is my God and my Lord. These 11 sinners, saved by the grace of God, convicted of their sin, just tormented in themselves of their sin, they were sealed by the Holy Ghost. They were made alive, and it was given unto them to call Jesus Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside looking in, when 2,000 years later, we sit down and read this, "Lord, is it I? Master, is it I?" We just said, "Well, look at the wonderful fruit, isn't it? How the Lord just blessed them." But the sorrow they had was theirs, and it was real. Sorrow you and I have is ours, and it's real. One of these 12, they wasn't so sorrowful, and they didn't call him Lord. Read on, look in verse 23. "And he answered and said, 'He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me.'" A whole lot of people's got opinions on that. Let me tell you what that means. I've been in the Middle East quite a bit. Whenever they eat dinner, they got one big old tray with food on it, and everybody reaches in and grabs what you want to eat and eat it. He's saying, whoever's sitting at this table with me, one of you 12, is who it is. Now the warning. It says in verse 24, "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him." The purpose and will of God will stand. What Christ came to accomplish will happen. This isn't a hiccup. This isn't a speed bump. An obstacle he's got to overcome. This is the determinate counsel of foreknowledge of God. It will come to pass. "The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." It had been good if he had not been born. We get a lot of warnings in the Scripture, don't we? Take heed. Whenever we hear that, do we say, "Well, that ain't me"? Or do we say, "Is it me? Lord, is it I?" I'm going to read you a few. You ain't got to turn to these. And if you want them, I'll have the notes put out later. But "take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land wherest thou go, lest it be a snare in the midst of thee." Well, I don't have any dealings with this earth. Is it me? Have I done that? "Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." I would never do that. Or, is it me? Have I done that? "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God." I love the Lord. Do I love the Lord? Or is it me? "Then Jesus said unto them, 'Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees.'" Lord, is it I? "Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Wherefore, let a man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I'm grown up. I got strong legs. I'm standing good. I'm standing tall, firm. Take heed. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Oh, I'd never let something slip away. I hear everything. Or, is it me? Look back and think of all the things I've forgot more than I know. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Verse 25 in our text, Matthew 26. "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Master, is it I? Rabbi, is it I? Teacher. Teacher, is it I? What's a teacher? Somebody can take or leave. You go to college. You don't like that professor? Drop that class. Get you another one. You're paying them to be there. They ain't paying you to be there. You got to honor them, respect them a little bit. It's their classroom. That's just a teacher. They'll come and go. Give it a semester. You'll get a new one. That's got a lot to do with inflection, too. We see this in text. Some of my friends call me a hillbilly. And I just laugh every time they say it. And then somebody can say, you hillbilly. Well, now we got a problem. Same word, isn't it? Master, is it I? Christ says there, Thou hast said. You know what that means? It is as Thou hast said. You've said right. Master, is it I? You just said it. You're right. What happened? You and I know that Judas was the betrayer. These 11 apostles, they didn't know. Judas has made his bargain. He had to pass over with Christ. Here he answered, Master, is it I? And our Lord responded, You are right. It's you. And they still didn't know. What did Christ do right after this? He gave them the Lord's Supper. Do we sit in judgment over who ought to be taking the Lord's Supper? God Almighty gave it to Judas. I want to talk a little bit about who Judas Iscariot was, and I'll let you go. Who was Judas Iscariot? He was the betrayer. Yes, we know that, don't we? But do not forget who this man was. He was numbered with us, Paul tells us in Acts 1:17. He preached the truth. He didn't preach a false gospel. He preached the truth. He healed folks. He prophesied. This ought to give us a grave concern that because we stand in our sound doctrine, we think we're saved. Christ is the one who saves. Then the understanding comes. Then we'll get it in bites we can eat the elephant with. That'll come. The person that saves, not a knowledge. This was a trusted officer in the church. Trusted. There was 12 of them. One of them was the treasurer. Judas was the treasurer. The irony of that, isn't it? The one that held the bag, the treasurer, he was the very one that bargained for 30 pieces of silver. The Lord gives us an office. You think that might be our downfall? I'm asking myself. If he gives us a ministry, a service, or something to do, you think that might be my downfall? This would be a great warning to us. Our knowledge and our position. Me. I'm a preacher. It don't make a difference, does it? Our knowledge and our position is not what saves us or secures us. It's Christ that saves us and secures us. We should cry, Lord, is it me? From every office and every position in His body. If we're a liver, a heart, a head, or a toe, we're going to cry out, Lord, is it me? What about morality? Turn over to John 13. Judas had a good standing. I would trust the opinion of the apostles, wouldn't you? If they're sitting here and I said, "Where do you like? Where's a good place to eat?" I would take them on their word. These 11 thought highly of him. John 13, verse 25. John 13, 25. He then lying on Jesus' breast, that's John, had his head on his chest, and said unto him, Lord, who is it? And he answered, He it is to whom I shall give sop. We sop up bread. And my dad getting me in trouble for that. There's some juice left over. You take a biscuit, sop up that juice, wouldn't you? It's good. That's what sop is. It is he to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Any confusion there? Whoever I hand this to, that's it. Here. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. And he said, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. You've got something to carry out. Get on with it. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. They had no idea why he said this to Judas. 11 apostles. For a person to say, let me talk to somebody a while, and I'll tell you if they're saved or not. I can discern that. What foolishness, isn't it? Our Lord handed Judas the sop, told him, you are right. Master is I, you're right. It's you. And these others just assume because he held the bag. Because he held some additional duties. He held some offices. He was honorable. He was blessed with these gifts that it wasn't him. Look at verse 29. For some of them thought, that the Lord said this, because Judas had the bag. He was the treasure. That Jesus had said unto him, buy those things which we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Well, the Lord must be talking about something else. That's who this man was. What was his warning? I read you a whole bunch earlier, didn't I? We're warned all throughout Scriptures, but turn over to John chapter 6. John 6. From Moses on, we have a warning. There's no one that commits apostasy that's unwarned. Someone sits underneath the sound of the gospel and they willfully turn from Christ and go away to another gospel, which is not another. There ain't no other place. They have been warned. Plainly. Clearly. John 6, verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, will you go away also? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Whoosh. You'd hear the wind coming off that. It went over their head so fast. Was Judas warned? Christ told him then. He said, one of you, I chose 12 of you. One of you is a devil. He never prayed about it, did he? Lord, keep it from being me. He never wept over it, did he? Is it I? Is it me? He never asked God to keep him. Lord, keep me. I can't keep myself. Preserve me. Ask the Lord to secure him. He's warned again whenever Christ washed the disciples' feet. Peter said, you ain't washing my feet. And he said, if I don't wash your feet, you're probably no part of me. And he said, wash my head, my hands, my arms, my legs, my feet. Wash all of me. He said, you're clean, Peter. He said, but not all of you are clean. Not all of you are clean. That should give us pause for concern. This thing of eternal salvation, it's much too big. It's much too important to take for granted. This is eternal life and death. We need to examine ourselves. We need to make our calling and election sure. We need to look inside. Is it I? That's what we need to be asking. No, is it somebody else? Is it me? And when we hear these warnings, if they don't just swoosh over us, if it ain't a shot and a miss, if we don't just ignore it, we truly hear these. What do we see in ourselves and what do we see in our Lord? I am nothing but a wretch. I'm a sorrowful, horrible person. Worse than that, I am sin against God, what I am, every fiber in me. And when I look to Him, when I look to myself, I say, it must be me. Lord, Lord, it's me, isn't it? It's not so much an open question. There's some force behind it. I know it's me. When I look to Him, all I can see is Christ is able. He's able. What's required of me? He's able. What do I need to do? He's able. He is. What was this betrayal that took place? It's so sad. So sad. This betrayal was with a kiss. I come out of that Garden of Gethsemane. Judas walks up and puts his arm around him and gives him a kiss. He said, that's how you're going to know it's him. We'll give a kiss to him. Call him Master. Rabbi, hello, Master. Kiss him right on the cheek. Every false preacher comes with a kiss, don't they? Sweetness. Oh, it's on the pretense of the glory of God. Go get some of them horrible books that's out there. And it's, we're going to correct some things. Oh, it's for the glory of God. Because they have some novel revelation that's hogwash nobody's ever heard of. They say it's all for His glory. It's with a kiss, I'm looking out for you. And then it turns to something other than Christ and Him crucified. So we're told Matthew 7, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in Your name? Didn't we feed the hungry? It's with a kiss. Is that shocking to us? It shouldn't be. We've been warned of that too. Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Oh, he smiles so big. He knows the Bible so well. Isn't that what Satan tempted the Lord with all the time? Twisting Scripture. Peter looked like an unbeliever on that day. Here Judas comes with a kiss and a hug and Master, kind words. Peter's over there, hair's a mess, and he's got a sword ready to cut somebody's ear off, doesn't he? I'm going to fight this out. He looks like a person that ain't got no grace. Judas looks like the one that's had grace experienced in his heart, doesn't he? Trade with a kiss. What was his ending? Turn over to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas. I'll wait till you get there. Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that. Uh-oh. He qualifies as sin for us to see. I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He didn't say I've sinned against God, did he? Against thee and thee only have I sinned. He said outwardly I've done something wrong. He doesn't deserve to be committed to this death. He's innocent. That's innocent. You can find a heathen that'd say it ain't good to kill an innocent little child or something. Saying I've sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. That ain't none of our business. Our dealings are done. That covenant's completed. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. He threw it at their feet and departed and went and hanged himself. Peter tells us in Acts 1:18, he didn't do too good of a job at it either. Rope broke. He fell down a cliff and insides were on the outside and it was a mess. All that money bought him was a patch of bloody ground to bury him in. That's what, when he said, what will you give me? What can this world give anybody? They can loan us something, can't they? He had that silver for a minute. he might keep it till death. Everything that this world can give is loaned. It can't give nothing. Who can give? Christ can, can't he? My pastor once asked this question a long time ago, and he said, instead of Judas running back to those preachers of Babylon, drink their wine, try to make amends with them, instead of taking matters into his own hands, still trying to give that money back, what if he begged for mercy? What if he begged for mercy? After Peter denied Christ three times, ain't a whole lot of difference there. Peter denied Christ three times. What happened? He went out and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He was sorrowful. He said, Lord, it is I. Judas went out and hanged himself. Took matters in his own hands. God delights to show mercy. He is plenteous in mercy. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not whosoever except all those that deny me. except all those that betrayed me. Not those, but anybody else. Whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon His name. Christ is able to save them to the uttermost that come to, unto God by Him. Scriptures say, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. Judas sins. This would be a strong statement for some folks. I hope it hits you. It's a barbed arrow. Judas' sins are no worse than yours or mine. Do we see it that way? Do we? I wouldn't have done that. His sins are no worse than yours sins or my sins. We betrayed Christ. We denied Him. Just as Peter did. But Judas didn't come back and cry for mercy. Confess his sins. Falling at the Savior's feet. Lord, save me. He had a repentance, but it was of guilt, wasn't it? Only because of the consequences. It says there in Matthew 27:3. It's because of the results. When he saw it, saw what happened. Sin's not to be measured in the results of the sin, but in the cause of it. It's not the consequences of sin that matter so much as who we sinned against. We sinned against Almighty God. We ain't got a handle on sin, do we? Henry used to give that illustration of a railroad switch thrower. The guys pull a big handle, makes the train go another way. And he said, if one of them threw the wrong switch and a train with 250 people were on it, and it went down that track and hit wrecked, killed every one of those people. And another man threw the switch the wrong time, and a little hand cart was going by, and it fell over, nobody got hurt. Which is the greater sin? In our nature, we said, well, the one that killed all the people, wouldn't it? The action wasn't no different. The action wasn't no different at all, was it? Sin is a transgression against God. It doesn't matter if it's outwardly, if it's inwardly, or if we never get caught. Oh, nobody knows about that one. That one don't count. It's against the Almighty God who it's against. God looks on the heart, on the intent. What we meant by it. Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial were the same. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin. I'll tell anyone, no matter who they are, whosoever, come to Christ. Come with a sorrowful, contrite heart. Come truly begging mercy. This ain't a convenience store. This ain't the 7-Eleven you come down and get saved. This is a Savior. This is a Lord. Come to Him, begging Him, trusting that He's able, and He will be plenteous in mercy to you. Plenteous in mercy. His grace is magnified by His mercy. Come to Him. Come to Him. What a day it would be.